Well, good morning. I'm really excited to be able to share with you today. It's fun to visit Vineyard in Windsor. We love you guys over there from Fort Collins. We think of you often. And I'm glad to be able to talk about generosity. Generosity isn't always an easy thing to do, if I were completely honest with you. Jack said I was a very generous person, but sometimes I get so caught up in thinking I have to control my own life and provide for myself that it's really hard to be generous. And sometimes it's a natural impulse to not even be generous, like today, in full disclosure. As we were coming to church, Rick and I were driving. We decided I wanted to go to Starbucks. I love Starbucks. And so he said we could stop by Starbucks on the way. And so I expect him to turn into the grocery store parking lot because you don't have to tip if you go to that Starbucks. Did you know that? They don't take tips, so you can't tip. So you don't look like you're not generous because they can't take them. And he turned into the Starbucks store parking lot, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to tip them now. It's just kind of a natural thing. I think that, did you know, God, I do believe, hardwired us to be generous people because we are created in His image and He is a generous God. But we live in a broken, fallen world, and it's so easy to get into the habit of, oh, I want more for myself. Do you know, there was a study done between men and women and who is the most generous. This, I don't know if it was like an official study, but somebody did a study and put it on the internet, so it's got to be truth, right? And they said that women are intrinsically more generous than men. Did you know that? I don't know if that's really true. But they also said that, except when it comes to chocolate, women are not generous when it comes to chocolate. They get the biggest piece for themselves. So when I saw your advertisement for the women's event in Valentine's Day and how you're going to have chocolate, I was thinking, oh boy, I wish I could come. I'm going to be out of town, unfortunately, but anyway, all that to say, I want to talk to you about generosity today. And God is a generous God, and He is the one who was generous first. He gave His own Son for us. He gave up His own Son first before we ever did anything to deserve it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He has promised that He will take care of us and that if we give, He will give back to us. He promised that it's more blessed to give than to receive, and His mercies are new every morning. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That His faithfulness is forever. He is a generous God. And as we are followers of Him, we choose to follow Him and be like Him and grow to be like Him. That's His goal, is that we would become more and more like Him as we follow Him. And He wants to change our hearts from thinking about me first and what can I have to being a generous people. And He created us to live that way, and that's how life works better. When you are a generous person, you are happier. You live a more fulfilled life. And I think of the new year. It's 2019. What kind of year would you like to have? Wouldn't you like to have a year where you get to go on a lot of adventure and you have an exciting life? I think it'd be really cool. So I'm going to tell you a verse that God said, or not God, but it's in the Bible, which is God's word. But actually, Solomon said it. All day long, he, the lazy and selfish, craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. And that's what being generous is, that you not just give the minimum or give what's expected of you, but you give and you don't hold back. And that is our goal, to do that. But what it talks about in the beginning about craving and craving, we live in a society that is continually telling us we don't have enough, we need more. It's so hard to know what enough is. I love that Wes Stafford from Compassion International said the opposite of poverty is enough. But I don't know about you, I really struggle with knowing what is enough. What is enough food for me to consume in my life? What is enough clothes to have? What is enough in rooms to have in my house? What is enough? We're always being told we need more, that we need more ways to eat. They're always coming up with new diets and new ways of eating. We need more restaurants. I can't believe in Fort Collins how many restaurants are opening all the time. We need more toys. There are now, 10 iPhones? And that doesn't even include the larger sizes. They made so many different kinds because you always need a better and you need more and you need enough. But in God's economy, He wants to provide enough and then give us more than enough that we can be generous to others. So I'm going to talk about three different kinds of mindsets of generosity. And the first one is the bag mindset. The bag is what you have, and you contain it all in one bag, and you provide for yourself, and it is never enough. It's because your bag has a limited amount of resources in it. Maybe you get so much money in your paycheck. You have so much time in your life. You know, everybody only has 24 hours in your day. You have so much energy in your life to spend on others. And if you hold on to it, the bag mindset is you're holding on to it because if I give away some of out of my bag to you, then I won't have enough for me. And the bag mindset's represented by our language and the way that we talk. Like my dad used to say, money doesn't grow on trees. And he was trying to tell me that there's a limited amount of money in this family, and so you can't expect to have more because it doesn't come from nowhere. I earned this money, and this is what we have. Or if I give to you, then I won't be able to, and you can fill in the blank. What is it that if I give to you my chocolate, I won't be able to have enough chocolate for me? You know, if I give to you my time, I won't be able to do the things that I need to do in my time. If I give to you out of my energy, I won't have enough energy to do the things that I want to do. I have a limited amount of way of looking at life that I don't have enough. Or maybe you look at other people and say, oh, it'd be nice that they can do this because they have those resources and I only have this limited amount of resources. Or the rich get richer, but the poor get poorer. Or maybe you say, hey, if I could just win the lottery, then I would be able to whatever you want to do. So in my family, they used to always say, if I could just win the lottery, then I could build you a church. That's what they used to tell me and Rick. But that's the fear of not enough, that you hold on to what you have and you think, I've got to protect it and keep it because what I have is all I have. And if I give it to you, then I won't have enough. But another way of looking at life is the basket mindset. Baskets were really well used in the Bible times because it was an agrarian society and they used the baskets to collect the harvest. They go out and pick the wheat, put it into the basket. They would use the basket, they grind their flour and they put it into the basket. And a basket represents having more than enough. And there's a verse in the Bible that Moses said to the children of Israel before they were going into the promised land. He told them about God's blessings and how his blessings go down to generation after generation when you obey God. And he says, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And then he lists lots of different things. But the things I want to focus on today, at the end he says, and your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. So your bag mindset is what I have in my bag is all I have and I need to keep it. And the basket is if I take what's from my basket and I share it with others, it's going to be multiplied and blessed. One way that God likes to teach us this is through the principle of the tithe. Tithe means 10%. And I don't believe it's about money. I believe it's about a heart attitude with God. And I think he set that number. It's the 10% because it's not an equal tax on everybody. It's not like everybody has to give $1,000. It's 10% of what you have. And if you have just a little, 10% is just a little. If you have a lot, 10% is a lot. But it's off the top. It's not the leftovers. It's not like when you've spent all your money and you look at your money and there'll be 10% over to give to me. Because it's about a heart issue. It's about trusting God. And in the Bible times, they would take their harvest and they would give 10% of it first to God. Or they take their produce, they give 10% of it to God. Or they take their lambs and they count out 10. And every 10th lamb was to be given dedicated to God. And for us as people, sometimes it sounds like a really hard, scary thing to do. Because taking off the top of your money and setting aside and giving it to God, and we give it to God through the church, you have to have faith that God knows you, cares about you, and he's good, and he will provide. You have to trust that he does have resources that you may be not aware of, that he can take your 90% and multiply it to be enough instead of your 100%, and 10% goes to God. or if you keep your 100% for yourself. It's a surrendering of control over your money to God. It's saying, God, I choose to live your way, not my way. And it's believing that God can multiply what you have and give it back to you. And I grew up in a family where we went to church all the time. My parents followed God. And I learned about tithing as a little kid. My parents gave me 25 cents a week for allowance. And I gave 3 cents to God, because 2.5, you know, you can't cut those pennies in half. And then I gave 10 cents to this club that I was in at our church as dues. We had dues in those days. They did that kind of thing. It's so long ago, you young people don't even know what I'm talking about. And then I got to keep the extra 12 cents for myself. And when I was a little kid, that was easy to do. I was glad to have 12 cents, and give 3 cents to God was great. And so I got in a habit of doing that. Now, I know today that it's not really popular to give your kids allowance, because they're part of the family, and they're supposed to be doing chores because they belong to the family. But allowance really is a good thing, because it's an easy way to teach your kids about money and how to use it when they're young and they're impressionable and it's easy for them to trust. So it's a really good tool to teach your kids. And so I grew up doing that when I was a little kid. And then when I started babysitting when I was a young teenager, it was easy if I got $10 to give a dollar to God. And then I got a job when I was 16, and it was a habit. It was just, I do it off the top. I get paid, and I cash the check and put some money in the offering. Or then eventually I got to write checks, which you guys don't know what those are either, right? And then I could write a check and give it to the church. And now, do you know, you can give on your phone by texting. Isn't that cool? So I learned it as a kid, and it's been easy for me to do it as an adult. And as an adult, I can tell you, in my 55 years of following Jesus, that he has always provided for me. I've always had enough. I've never gone without. That God has been faithful to do that. And he says, if you put him first, he will multiply the rest to be enough for you. And my dad, I watched him as I was growing up. He put God first in his life. He followed God all my years of watching him as his child until he got older and he passed away when he was 80. And when he was 65, he was ready to retire from this corporation that he worked for. And he worked for this big corporation, and he had only worked there 17 years. And the policy at that corporation was you had to work there 20 years to get your retirement pension. And, you know, 2 months before his retirement date, they changed the policy in their headquarters that you only had to work there 17 years and you could get your full retirement. Now, isn't that God? Who would have thought that God could do that? Isn't that pretty cool? When my dad told me that story, I was so impacted. I thought, oh, my goodness. I can trust God for the rest of my life. I know God will always take care of me. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if God could do that for my dad, he can take care of me. And you know what? That story is true for each one of you, that God's that kind of God. He can do that. He is not limited by any of our rules or regulations or amounts or paychecks or anything. He can do anything. God can do anything. And he loves you and cares about you and wants to provide for you. And he wants you to put him first in his life, and then he will take the responsibility for you. Isn't that cool? Rick said I said cool too many times. Isn't that wonderful? That's just great. It really impacted me. I hope that impacts you, that you can hold on to that when times get tough. It's like, God, that old man that was retiring, that didn't have retirement, you took care of him, you'll take care of me. Okay, the third kind of generosity I want to talk about is the barn generosity, and that's extravagant generosity. That is, God gives you more than enough. Not just enough, but more than enough. A barn in the Bible times was a storehouse, and these agrarian people would take their harvest and they put it in the barn, and it'd stay there as they used it until the next harvest season came. And there's some verses in the Bible about barns. One is Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. And in Deuteronomy 28, 8, it says, "The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you." And that is God's promise to us, that as we honor him and we give out of what we have to him and to others, he will bless it. And, you know, it's so exciting because God has all the resources in the world. He is not limited by anything. And so he has a big barn of resources. And he invites us into the adventure of his kingdom, that he wants to use us to be his hands and his feet to give to others. He wants to use us to be a vessel that he can pour his love through us onto others. And as we open ourselves up to taking what God gives us and being a vessel and giving it to others, there's no greater joy in life at all. It's an exciting adventure. And the more that you step out and do that, the more he'll give you, because he knows he can trust you. And you can enter into just helping spread his love, his goodness, his provision to other people. In the Bible, there was a story in the Old Testament about a prophet, Elijah. And it was a famine in the land, and there had been no rain. It was 3 years, and he was being fed by God at a brook, but God sent him to another city. He dried up the brook and sent Elijah to another city called Zarephath, because there was a widow there that God wanted to provide for. And so Elijah went to the city of Zarephath, and he found this widow who was out gathering up some sticks, because she was going to start a fire, and she was going to bake some bread with a little bit of flour she had left during that famine for her and her son. And then she knew they'd die because there were no more resources. And when Elijah saw her, God told him to say, he asked for a drink of water, and she gave it to him, and they got talking. He said he wanted, "Would you bake me a loaf of bread?" And she told him the story about how, "This is all I have. I'm going to go. I'm going to bake this. We're going to eat this, and then we're going to die because I have nothing else." And he said, "If you will bake me a little loaf of bread first, God will provide for you." And so she did it. She took her loaf, her basket of flour. She baked the loaf of bread, gave it to Elijah, and then she went to look at her basket again, and there was some more flour in it. And until the famine ended, the flour never ran out in her basket. She had enough for her and her son and her family, because she believed that God could take care of her, and she demonstrated it by putting Elijah first, and God was good. And God used Elijah to provide for her because God saw her need. Isn't that a wonderful story? I just think it shows that God can take and do the impossible, that he can multiply. I've been, I wear contact lenses, and I've been putting the contact solution. You know, it gets towards low in the bottle, and I thought, do I need to throw this away? And there's a little bit left, and each day I'm amazed. Look, there's a little more contact lens solution. Well, God wasn't multiplying it. It ran out today. But I was just thinking, that must have been how that lady felt. You know, there's a little more flour. Oops, I got enough flour to bake this loaf of bread for today. And she's thinking, will there be any tomorrow? And there's a little more flour for tomorrow. And every day she trusted God. Now, as I was putting that little bit of contact solution in my lens case every night this week, I was thinking, yeah, I don't like this little bit. I like to throw out the bottle and get the big bottle and know I have more than enough. And I think that's our nature, is it's hard to trust God for that. Every day he gives you what you need. But that's the kind of trust he wants us to have in him, that we don't think about the future. We live in the day and in the moment, and he will provide. I've started a journey of learning about extreme generosity or extravagant generosity about 15 years ago, because I did grow up in this family where my parents were followers of Jesus and we tithed, but they weren't extravagantly generous people. They just always knew that God gave them enough, and that was okay, but they didn't have the faith to step out and test God to see if he'd give them more. And so it started with me with sponsoring a Compassion Child. God really highlighted that little flyer I got on my desk at work one day. I led children's ministry in Fort Collins, and I'm an advocate for kids. I love kids, and I thought, wow, if I love kids, I should sponsor a child. And when I stepped out and committed to like $32 a month, I'm going to sponsor this little girl, Doreen, from Uganda, God just started opening up my eyes. That first step I took, He provided the money for us to be able to do that. I mean, I'm still sponsoring her. She was 6 when we started, and she's like 20 now. I think she'll be 20 in March. And as I stepped out to do that, God just showed me other needs around that I could step out and help with. And He challenged me about extra income. Like, what if I gave away some extra income for His purposes? What would happen? And I did a little experiment with some money I got from a book, and I gave it. I decided I'm not spending any money on myself. I'm going to do this. And God gave back to me. And I just, then I realized, hey, if I have a little extra and set it aside, then maybe I can meet some needs. And anyway, I just started going on this adventure of being able to be used by God to help meet other people's needs. And that was just a really exciting thing to experience. But sometimes you don't see the results. Like, sometimes you give to someone and you think, did that make a difference? Or I'd give to someone and I think, oh, they didn't sound very grateful. It's hard. It's hard to do that because you want to know this made a big difference, and this person was really touched and grateful for what I did. But it's all about your heart, really. That's God's business with that person. Well, am I being obedient and stepping out and doing what He wants me to do? And so I realized sometimes it's hard to be generous and give when you don't see the results. But sometimes you do get to see the results. And one of the Compassion Kids that we've sponsored is 22 now. He's in Rwanda and Augustine. And he topped out of the program, and we're done sponsoring him. And he sent me a beautiful letter about how what a difference we made in his life and how grateful he is for our family, for coming alongside of him and providing for him. And it was just really... It made me feel so honored that we could do that. And then we gave him a special little family gift at the end of his sponsorship. And he sent me a picture of him with this the woman. He is his mother figure, and I don't think it's his real mother, but it could be a grandmother or relative that he lives with in this little cement house with a door and no windows. And they're standing in their doorway, and there's this big container of oil. There's this big container of grain, I think it's neph, and or whatever they eat in Rwanda. And then he's holding a box that is a cell phone. And he said he was so excited to get a cell phone. And I just thought, what? That brought so much joy to my heart that we could be a part of that. And we could do that for him. And to just be in part of the cycle of seeing his gratitude, it was just really cool. Exciting and wonderful. It's really hard to train yourself not to say certain words when you don't realize you said them until they come out of your mouth. But I still feel like God has me on a journey of extravagant generosity. And sometimes I think I hear Him and I do it, and other times I think, was that really you, God? I'm not sure, so I'll pretend like it wasn't. But this summer I got to be on another exciting journey that involves you guys, actually. We have been part of Convoy of Hope many years, as you are. And I got to learn about their women's empowerment program. And I just love what they do for women, how they take women who are destitute and can't support their kids, and they train them. They often have to teach them to read and teach them to do math. And they train them how to start a business, and they help them start a business that can actually support themselves. And then they give them seed money to launch the business, and then they mentor them through the process of running the business. And they've been doing that for about 11 years now, and they have so many success stories, women that started 11 years ago, and they're still doing their business, and they're able to support their own families, and they're able to even save some money, and their kids are going to school, and it's just wonderful what they're doing. And they even have stories of women who have started mentoring other women and doing to other women what has been happened to them. They have one woman who people in the community would come to her and ask her for money because they saw how now she can support herself and has money. And she'll say, well, I don't want to give you money. I want to teach you how you can start your own business. And she mentors them so that they can start their own business and support themselves. So I'm all excited about that. And I heard about this several years ago. And every year I try to save enough money that I can support one woman in the Women's Empowerment Program, and I've been doing this for several years, and I've talked to some of you about it and shared my passion. And a year ago last Christmas, we did a women's outreach, a brunch, and I thought, wow, it'd be really cool if we could try to raise enough money to support a woman to be in the Women's Empowerment Program. And so we partnered with you guys, and we put on a Christmas brunch, and we had an artist market, and we got money from the people that had tables. They rented a table. And then we gave the money from your tickets, and we did a potluck-type brunch. If you wanted to donate food, that helped save us money. And we were able to sponsor a woman from that event. After our expenses, we were able to sponsor a woman to go into the Women's Empowerment Program. And I was pretty excited about that a year ago, Christmas time. So last summer, I was at a convoy event, and they were asking people to make pledges to donate money over the year. And so I thought, well, yeah, I like doing this. I'm going to sign up. And I felt like God said, this year I want you to pledge $10,000. And I thought, $10,000? There's no way I can save that kind of money in a year. I couldn't do that. The only way I could do that, God, is if you, like, gave me the money. And I thought, okay, God, I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to trust you that if you give the money, I'll give it to Convoy. See, if you don't give the money, I can't give it to Convoy. So it's a win-win. I don't have to give it if I don't have it, right? So, God, I'll do it if you give the money. And then I told Rick, guess what? I pledged $10,000 for Convoy this year. And he went, you did what? And he was not excited. In fact, he acted a little perturbed. And I said, Rick, it's a pledge. God has to provide the money, and then I'll give it. But if God doesn't provide the money, then I don't have to give it. And so he was thinking we were going to have to give it, and he was a little concerned about me. But so I decided after I'd made that pledge, I thought, you know what, I need to take out of my little savings account that I've had money, I have enough to give 10% toward this pledge. I need to give the 10% that I have right now, God, because God multiplies what you give. And, you know, any number, 100, a million times zero is still zero. So you have to give something for God to multiply. So I wrote a check and gave him my 10% for that pledge. And then I thought, God, I don't know how you're going to provide it, but I'm going to keep my eyes open and try to figure it out, and because I really want to be able to do that for Convoy. So it became Christmas time, and I was talking to some of our women, and I said, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did another brunch and we raised money for Convoy? And, you know, last year we were able to support one woman, and maybe we could do more this year. And so I got together with some of the women, and one of the women was full of faith, and she goes, yeah, I think we could raise $5,000 in this event. And I started doing a little math in my head, like, okay, we charge $10. If we get 200 women, that's $2,000. And if we get women to sponsor tables to sell their goods at, maybe we could get another 1,000. And I'm thinking, I don't know how we could get 5,000. Don't see how that could happen. But I didn't want to discourage her. So I was like, oh, okay, let's do that. And I was thinking, I don't know how we're going to do it, but let's do it. So we started planning our event, and we invited you guys, and you joined in, and we invited Windsor, and Greeley, and we invited Loveland, and women started buying tickets, and we're excited to come. And instead of having, I think the first year we had maybe 15 artists who had booths, we had like 30. And then some of the women said, hey, I'm going to go out, I'm going to ask for donations so we can have a silent auction. I don't know if some of you were part of that. If you were, thank you. But we got some silent auction stuff donated, and that was great. And we brought in a speaker from Convoy, and she shared with us about the event. And between the 200 women's tickets and the 30, we had 30 vendors that gave, and the people that donated toward the silent auction and bought those goods, and an offering we took at the end of the event, I counted up, and we had raised $12,000. I was overwhelmed. I was like, oh, God, you are so good. How did you make that happen? It was so exciting, and I'm so excited that I got to partner with you women to do this. It wasn't just me and God over on the side trying to figure out how to do this and him sending the money, but we got to do it together. And we got to impact 12 women whose lives will forever be changed. And you know what? They won't ever probably meet you. Who knows? We'll probably never meet them. They don't know our names. They don't know who we are. But we will forever be a part of their story because their lives will be changed. They will be able to put their kids in school and feed their kids and take care of their families. And that will go on through the generations. Their kids will grow up being able to take care of themselves and feed their families. And we've made a big kingdom impact by working together. And I think that is so cool because, and wonderful, because our God is a generous God. Rick won't correct me on my language ever again, will he? I want to challenge you guys today to trust God that He can use you to bring His kingdom into someone's life that's around you. Someone whose need He wants to meet through you. And you know, there are a lot of needs in the world. And you cannot fill all of them. But there are people that God will put in your path that He wants to share His love with, His provision with, His goodness with through you. So I challenge you to, if you're not tithing, tithe. Step up and say, God, I'm going to put you first in my life. I'm going to trust that you can multiply my 90% to be enough. Put him to the test. The Bible says that's okay. If you do tithe, I say, ask God to speak to you and show you the needs that he has for you, people he wants to touch through you. And then listen to those little nudges in your mind or in your heart. Just maybe your heart beats fast or you think, oh, I see this person. I'm supposed to do something. And trust that he will give you something to give them. And set aside some money. Maybe it's unexpected income. Maybe if you get a little pay raise, you can set it aside so that you have some resources that are ready to help people. And then for those of you who are parents, or grandparents, we need to teach this to our kids. It is so much easier if you learn it while you're little. And we want our kids to have their own God stories about God using them, God's faithfulness, that God gives them things. And I have this video I want you to watch.
So I regularly try to take my little five-year-old daughter out on daddy-daughter dates, and we go do all kinds of stuff. There was this one particular Saturday where she said, Dad, I think today for our date, I would like to go collect bug shells. She shows me this little cicada bug shell that's sure enough sitting on the side of the tree, and she says to me, Dad, my friend Adele and I would like to start a business collecting bug shells. I smiled and I said, okay, what are you going to do with the money that you make? And she said, well, we're going to buy people water with the money. There are kids in Africa who don't have clean drinking water, and we want to help get them water. I felt about that small, thinking she was just buying water for our neighbors. And so she goes and she tells my wife the same idea. My wife finally adjusts her business model and says, well, maybe instead of bug shells, you'd be able to ask people for pop cans and money. And so they start going door to door. She and her friend, they divide up the sales pitch. One of them says, we're collecting money and pop cans. And the other one says, for kids in Africa to have clean drinking water. And so they go house to house. They interact with all of these different neighbors. And eventually they raise $67.60. Into our kitchen, and they're sitting there lining up all the nickels and quarters and all the different pop cans, and they say, let's send it to World Vision's water team and we'll write them a letter. And so they write this letter to World Vision's water team, and they put the $67.60 into an envelope and send it off. we got a letter back from World Vision, and you know, it's this organization that receives donations from all over the place. And in the letter, you could just tell how inspired they were by just this 5- and 7-year-old girl, you know, just doing the kid thing, living it day in and day out. And this particular day, this is just what they decided to do. Was let's go help somebody have some clean drinking water. The day after they did all of this, my daughter walked up to me and she said, "Dad, do you think I helped save somebody's life yesterday?" And it was so cool to be able to say to her, "Yeah, I think you probably did."
Isn't that sweet? She has her own God story now of how God used her. So as we model generosity to our kids, invite them to come in and be part of it with us. Don't pressure them, but invite them to be part of it and teach them how they can be generous too. We can sow that seed of generosity inside of them and watch them get their own God stories about being used by God. When I was in the line of Starbucks this morning, the car in front of me had a bumper sticker that said, "One life, live it." And when I was looking at it, I thought, I think God would say to us, "One life, give it." As we give it our lives away to others, he'll just multiply the blessings back to us, and that'll be an exciting life. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, said, "You have not lived until you've done something for someone who can never repay you." Why don't you stand? I'm going to pray for you. Father God, I just thank you for each and every person that's here today. And Lord, I ask that you would bless them abundantly so that they can join in and be part of your kingdom expansion on this earth. And they can be your hands and feet and a vessel of your love as they generously give to others. And God, I ask that you would be faithful in multiplying what they give so that all their needs are cared for. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.